Kia ora whanau, it's great to be here again with you. And so I'm going to be doing a message called Journey Through the Wall. You've probably heard hitting the wall, getting through the wall. And apparently you've been doing a whole lot of sort of stuff like this. So I'm one in the journey here, so it's great to be sharing with you. Through the wall. Okay, and I want us to look at Matthew 26. And as we're coming into Easter season, it's I wanted to touch on the Garden of Gethsemane, and I wanted to share about this whole aspect of the dark night of the soul, hitting the wall and journeying through it. And I want to look at Jesus' life when Jesus had a difficult moment. Difficult would be beyond, it was super difficult. Matthew 26, 36, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to them, "Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again. They were a great help to him, actually, weren't they? And their eyes were heavy. And they left him, and he went away again and prayed the third time, and saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." I believe... I believe that we're two major moments in Jesus' life where he had to journey through something, journey through the wall really, was the beginning of his ministry when he, in Matthew chapter 4, he went into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil. He was alone for 40 days and he was fasting for 40 days. I'm not encouraging you to go be alone and fast for 40 days. I think start a bit slower, it was a whole trial for him, and he passed this, he came through this. But the next time was near the end of his ministry where he really had two difficult stages, two difficult things. The first one was the Garden of Gethsemane, which I'm going to focus on, but the next part was the cross, where Jesus, if you want to say hit the wall, he hit it big time. And an encouraging thing is that he has been there before us, so our things aren't nearly as much. So the whole thing, what I want to really talk about is I think it's Luke 38, it's the area of our souls. It said, "My soul is exceeding," we said in Matthew here, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch me." The soul, the mind, the will, and emotions are, I believe, the greatest area of battle we have. That's where all my difficulties often come from all our difficulties. And this is the area where we get things like anxiety, discouragement, lies, accusation, disappointments, regrets. It's interesting, when we become a Christian, we are born again. Anyone's in Christ, our new creation. But you didn't notice when you were born again that you still had tendencies to sin still, or you had things in your thinking, because we still have a mind that needs renewing, and we still have a body and a flesh that wants to go a different way. So it's this area of our soul and our thinking where I personally had these battles as well. So I want to talk today about Jesus's, where he went through it, but I also want to share about some of my experiences with this. Firstly, I just want to talk about Jesus when he went through this in the garden in Matthew 26, 37. He desired human company. He wanted his disciples, Peter, James, and John, to pray with him and be with him in his greatest need. And he was praying in such a way that he was sweating blood. I've never experienced that, but he was going through an incredible hard time. He needed human company. And one of the great things in life, or the things we need when we go through difficulties, we need human company. We need others. We need to be in church. We need... and what I've noticed is that people that go through things, often they self-isolate. They withdraw. You know, if we go often through a difficulty thing, instead of coming to church or instead of talking, I'm going to deal with this myself, and we're in pain or whatever, and we isolate. And sometimes as a pastor, I've found that people in church, they've just gone AWOL, they've just left, or something's happened, you try to ring them, are you all right, and you can't get through, and... what's happening? But they should come and work it out in the church. I have a saying that I come to church as is, where is. And some days you don't feel like worshiping. Some days you don't feel like praying or whatever, but I come anyway. Work it out. Come as you are. It turn up, you know. And also we need to allow others to help us in our pain. We need to share with them. We need to help us. But and Jesus wanted his disciples to do that for him, but they didn't. They let him down big time. It was almost amazing. It was almost like a demonic trance came on the disciples that they kept falling asleep. And he was in agony and they were asleep. Wow, I don't know how he felt. And sometimes we do need people, but sometimes people let us down. And I've let people down. We all let each other's down. But we also need to get into God. We need to have relationships when we're going through stuff, but we need to get into God. And Jesus had to pray. He had to be with him and mainly the Father. And it's interesting that Jesus prayed three times. Let this cup pass away, not your will, but yours be done. What was this cup? Jeremiah 25:15 describes, I think, the cup of God's wrath for the nations. That's what Jesus had to drink. He had to bear the wrath of God, the anger of God, so we could have the righteousness of God. But in his humanness, because he was God and man, he wanted another way. That was how he was feeling. He wanted another way. Could the angels come down and just do something? Could God just decree something, the Father? He was hoping, he was praying really for another way. And it's interesting in life, sometimes God delivers us, and other times he gives us strength to go through. And dealing with people's lives with problems, I find in particularly pastoral work, sometimes God will work in their life and deliver them from a situation, but other times you have situations, particularly where broken marriages or things have happened in people's lives that they cannot change. I often say to people that in those situations, I use a scripture in Timothy, where Paul says to Timothy, save yourself and your hearers. And I say to them, yeah, these circumstances may not change, but you can save yourself. You can still have a life. You can still love God. And Jesus had one of these moments we had to go through this. Also, he repeated the prayer three times. If you look at Jesus in the wilderness, in the temptation, he confessed scriptures three times. And what is this? Is verbal speaking of prayers and the word. Why did he do it three times? He did it to strengthen himself in the Lord. And he overcame the enemy. The issue with repeating prayers and confession, I talk a little bit more about this, but I started doing a lot of confession of scriptures. And I had a feeling sometimes, I felt like the enemy almost to say, well, you're just saying vain repetition. You're just saying it like a parrot. You're just saying these scriptures. And I really, really struggled with it because my heart was really to confess the word of God. And the Lord took me to Revelation 4:8. It says, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And they did, these creatures, day and night, were saying these words. God said, I don't mind repetition to me. If it's done in faith, it's done in love. They said it night and day. So it really, really helped me that as I do a lot of confessing of scriptures and I repeat stuff again and again because it strengthens me, it builds me up. Interesting, in this example, when Jesus did this in both in the wilderness and when in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was angelic intervention. Matthew 4:11, it says that the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Luke 22:43, the angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening Jesus when he was in this agony. One of the amazing things about angels, I believe we don't pray to angels and talk to angels. We talk to Jesus. He's our mediator. But you know, when we pray and confess the word, I believe that angels respond. Jesus confessed the word. Psalm 103:20 says, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. That's a powerful scripture. Bless the Lord, you angels, who excel in strength, who do his word. They often, I believe angels have a part of doing the word of God, but it says they heed the voice of the word. Is it God they only heed to? But Jesus was quoting these scriptures like us in his humanity. He was speaking the word of God and angels ministered to him. And the angels may not appear like they did to Jesus, but I believe that things happen. I've seen things happen when I confess the word of God and things have changed. I believe that angels have been part of it. Not only angels, but Jesus as well has done that. But just interesting this. Speak the word of the Lord. Jesus was strengthened in his faith to endure the cross, going through the Garden of Gethsemane. That was, I believe, that was his big thing to get to the cross. Okay, I just want to talk a little bit. I've talked a bit about Jesus. I want to talk about myself, and I wanted to talk about my own sort of battle. It's interesting, in times in life, we go through, Jesus had seasons. He had the beginning and the end. And we find in life there are seasons when we get tested, or times, or times of our life we get tested. I recently, about a couple of years ago, it's interesting, at different seasons of your life, you struggle with different things. And we had this thing where we felt that we were getting old. And we kept telling people we were getting older. And this is the stage of life. And finally, some people said to us, and some of the young people actually said to you guys, you are not old. You know, you're incredibly young in your hearts. And there's a reality I'm getting older, but that really, really spoke to me. But you see, different other stages of life, you go through different things. I don't think now, like as a young father, I was always thinking, how could I be a good, better father? And you're thinking of family. And now I just think, well, I just have to ask forgiveness for all the failures as a father. And I move on. I'm not thinking about that anymore and like that. But when you're that age, you are thinking of stuff like that. You go through different testing or different things at different stages of your life. And I found when I came into my 40s, I went through a time, whether you call it a midlife crisis or whatever it was, I just went through a difficult time in my soul. I felt like a number of things sort of converged on my life, and I wondered, I'd been a Christian for nearly 20 years, and I felt I hadn't grown enough in my faith. I also realized in my own thinking and in my mind and my emotions, I was struggling with things. And I thought as a Christian for that many years, you sort of thought you'd be more healed or more free. In areas of my life, I was healed, but in other areas, I was really, really struggling. And I struggled with anxieties and insecurities and fears, and I was easily discouraged. And part of me thought, this is just who I am. You know, this is just kind of, Phil, you're just going to live with this stuff. And we do have to live with some things. But I thought, well, this is kind of the state of what. But there was something in me that was determined I wanted to change myself. That's the first step in it. We want to do something about it. I wanted to change me. And I was determined to go deeper into God. I felt my prayer life was spasmodic. It was okay. There was good things were happening still in my life, but I felt I wanted to pray and to see freedom in my heart and life. So I started prayer walking, and I started declaring scriptures. Never done that before. I'd read at the time an old school writer, Derek Prince. Now people probably don't know about him, but in those, I'd read about people and read The Power of Proclamation, but I never did it. Isn't that amazing? We read books, and I've done that. You read books, and hey, that's a great teaching, but I never did it. I admired the truth from afar. And so I started proclaiming the Word of God, and I realized that I didn't have many scriptures actually in my heart. And so I got a few scriptures together, 10 to 15 scriptures, and I started confessing them. Go for this walk and confessing them. And I started proclaiming the word. One of the things you'll notice, and it can be a difficulty with when you proclaim the word of God, the words that I were proclaiming were true. They were scriptures from God, but they were not true in me. I hope you can see that. Because sometimes we think, oh, I'm just saying a scripture and it's automatically happened. It doesn't kind of work like that. There's a process of getting it into your heart. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. And so, in this time, I just kept going, and it was good that I had Derek Prince's book help mentor me in this. Another book at the time was Graham Powell's book, Christian Set Yourself Free, a wonderful book. And so I started doing this, and at times I really, really battled with it. I just thought, you're just going around the street, a person talking to themselves. Does God even hear? Is this working? Is this just vain repetition? As I said, this is nonsense. Give up. And then another part of me, and I believe it was my spirit part of me, said, no, don't give up. Keep going. I felt like this. And you have that in life. You have a part of you said, oh, I can't be bothered praying. Can't be, but then there's another part, you get into it, and you just got to keep doing some things. And it was probably, how to describe it, over about a period of 4 months. I did this, and nothing appeared to change. But I kept going. And then after about that time, I noticed something changed in me. I felt, hey, I'm something's lifted off me. I feel freer in my mind. I'm God's working. I felt something. Whether I had the deliverance, doesn't matter what it was, but something changed in me. And so that kept me going. I'm going to go keep going into this. I'm going to keep doing this. And it's since that day, it's been part of my life. I've gone more. I memorize scriptures. I meditate on scriptures. I proclaim scriptures every day. And I'm not legalistic about this. I've got a routine. I've got to do it for half an hour, or whatever. I just do it. And it has changed me. It's the power of God working in us. There is a scripture, it says in Romans 10:18 about salvation. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. With heart, man believes unto righteousness. Do you know that with the whole aspect of confession, you actually become a Christian through confession? Some people say, well, I just kind of invited Jesus into my heart quietly. No, you you actually have to confess it. I became a Christian here in Palmerston North over 50 years ago. I remember I knelt down by my bed and asked Jesus. I confessed him. But then I talked to people. I said to people, I'm a Christian. I was confessing it. The more I confessed it, the more true it became in my life. Unfortunately, what we do is we believe confession is only for salvation, but is not part of our ongoing walk in the Lord. Because I didn't really confess. I didn't really confess any scriptures. And it's interesting dynamic. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. It says it starts with the mouth, and often through process it gets into our heart. And you know, people say, well, I'm in faith, but faith is a process often that comes through my confessing scriptures. I started to believe the scriptures that I was confessing and going over and meditating on them, that they became part of my life. So also, I started at this time to pray in tongues. The type of speaking in tongues is speaking supernaturally to God. And I didn't do that much either. And I started getting into that. And I do that a lot. And that's confessing. That's confessing in another way. It's declaring to God. It's supernaturally doing it. And I find the combination of the two has changed my whole way of thinking. And in my mental health, I live an incredible sense of peace and rest and freedom. And yes, I go through difficult times. I go through things that can, you know, try to disrupt this. But I just go back, this is my program. This is the way I'm wired now to do this. And I've just seen this. I have been very, very concerned with the amount of mental health that Christians struggle with. And I talk to many young people, even the church at Grace, and a lot of them struggle with mental health. There's got to be answers in God for mental health. And I believe a major one is the Word of God, the power of God to bring healing and to bring life. With mental health, I also say, if people are in counseling, on medication, please do not stop. Counseling, medication helps people. But also, I also say to people, do these things. And I believe that through this process, I could never understand how to renew your mind. People said, you've just got to renew your mind. And I didn't know what that meant. Perhaps it means reading the scripture, yes. Going to church, yes. But I discovered that when I spoke the word of God, it renewed my thinking. Because I was speaking over my soul. I was speaking over my mind truths about God for me. My mind had to listen to what I was saying. And basically, I am a preacher, firstly. I preach here, but I'm a preacher to my soul. I'm always speaking to my soul. And the soul is where the areas of the issues have. And so I would just speak the word of the Lord into it. I'll say these scriptures. And it has affected my thinking and my mind and my understanding. Okay, I like a comment that Joyce Meyer said, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I was. And I could say, well, yes, have you reached, I'm not perfect, I still struggle at times, but I'm not where I was. I'm not in the days where I feel a lot of anxiety and fears and insecurities and all that stuff. I feel in a different place in my life and in my soul through this. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray. You said your word runs swiftly and is glorified. I release your word today. It does not return void, but accomplish that which you send it. And I am sending your word here today, Father, that you will not only do something in this time of the service, but you will plant some seeds in someone's heart here today. That someone that may be even going through a deep thing in their life, they will actually see the power of the spoken word of God. And Father, I just speak over every heart here today, that I speak into the mental health, I speak into the anxieties or the fears or the season of their life that may be going through great difficulties, that God wants them to, like Jesus, he moved through the thing. He prayed and moved through. And I just pray that this message will come, that people will be able to move through the wall and into the next stage. And so I just release your power, your work would run, your word would just touch every heart here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.